You are listening to the Payal Nanjiani Leadership Podcast, the number one podcast in the world for leaders who want to be the best. Each episode is designed to help you recognize and overcome your leadership challenges and achieve great success at your work. This episode is brought to you by your host, Payal Nanjiani, a world-renowned leadership expert, executive coach, and author known for her leadership talks, corporate training, and executive coaching. To know more about Payal, visit her website, www.payalnanjiani.com.
Welcome to the Payal Nanjiani Leadership Podcast. This is your host, Payal Nanjiani. And each week, we bring you an inspiring thought leader from around the world to help you unlock the success within you and for you to become a great leader. Thanks for joining me. And today we have with us in the studio none other than Darshana Bhalla, the founder and CEO of D Artist Talent Ventures. Darshana is an innovative and thoroughbred entrepreneur and leader for over 20 years in the media and entertainment industry. She has the ability and vision to envisage the future trends and innovations. Creative entrepreneur she is with an acute sense of business. Her experience varies from starting her own company at the age of 28 and partnering with Madison Communications to forming a company called Madison and Teamworks Entertainment Solutions. Her work has won her several accolades at prestigious advertising events. In 2018, she decided to look at the media, entertainment, and sports industry through the lens of a new media landscape of deep associations with creators, digital platforms, intellectual properties, branded content, celebrity solutions, and sponsorships. And with her experience, today she joins us to talk about changing the game. Darshana, welcome to the Payal Nanjiani Leadership Podcast. It is such an honor to have you here with us.
Same here, Payal. Thank you very much for making time. And thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thanks. And it's our honor to have you here. And you're, you know, when I was reading about you, there is so much you have accomplished. I haven't even read, a fraction of what all you have done. So would love to hear a little bit about yourself. What got you interested, not just in this field of marketing and advertising, but basically what got you to be interested in starting your own venture, leaving a secure job, you're into entrepreneurship?
Yes, so I think the most exciting part about entrepreneurship is the ability to create a vision into reality. And I think, at a very macro level, I think it's that dream, you know, that you start at a certain point in time through your career's experience judgment, mm-hmm. where you feel that you're probably going to bring a solution or address a need gap, or potentially find newer ways or innovative ways to do something. And I think that particular judgment and the vision, I think, is what is the starting point. And then from there on, you know, the chase kind of starts with how do you bring it to reality? But, you know, that said, Payal, that's only a part of it. Entrepreneurship, for me, I mean, that's where you start. But subsequently, the persistence is what kind of takes you through, you know.
So were you not afraid? Did people not tell you, hey, you know what, you're leaving a secure job, you're getting into entrepreneurship, that's not the way to go? Did you not hear all these things happening? I heard it for myself.
You know, I'm surprised you're asking this. You know why, Payal? Because frankly, it did happen a lot, because I'm talking about way back. I'm talking way back in 2004, where the world was not really acclimatized to the startup culture. You know, in fact, we didn't even call it startup then. It was like, you know, we're starting a business, you know.
Business was the word, yeah.
This was the word. And I remember when I started my first company, Teamworks, I left my job at Sony and I started this company, and I got a call. I won't name him, from a competition person, very senior. I really respect him. And he said, Darshana, what are you doing? You're going to ruin. And I said, you know, sir, if I don't go right, within 2 years, I'll come to you for a job. Allow me 2 years to figure this out. You know, so I think, with some level of risk, I think that's where also the excitement is. But yes, but what was certain is that, I had a plan. when you become an entrepreneur, you should have not just a business plan or a you it's almost like a life program. You need to know where you're headed, not just in the next 3 years, in 5 years, or in 8 years. Nowadays people say we're making business plan for 3 years and making projections for 5 years, and I don't know how that even pans out, because I feel that if you're going to deliver to a certain industry a certain kind of product, it needs to live a certain life. So we had a program, and I think things fell in place. Now we started off our career where the first person to participate in our entrepreneurial journey on the entertainment side was, Shah Rukh Khan's company, Dreams Unlimited. And, that kind of gave us this high profile boost that we wanted to kind of have within the industry. And then, of course, within a year, we had Sam Bilsara, who bought into our company. We created a joint venture, which was then Mates, which was Madison and Teamworks Entertainment Services. So that was a journey. And then, of course, there was more that followed.
No, and I think you're right, because even when I left corporate America to start doing executive coaching and writing books and training leaders across the globe, I think everyone told me it's a career suicide, because you're leaving a comfortable job, a good paycheck, and you're getting into this. So I so relate to what you're saying. But I'm sure I read in your bio somewhere that in the year of 2020, you faced a lot of challenges as an entrepreneur. Tell us a little bit about the challenges that you have been through, especially when you said that was a year which was most toughest for you. In what way?
Yes, it was. And so what happened is in 2018, I sold my shares at Madison Teamworks, and, there was a little bit of capital. So I decided to start another company which wanted to do a lot more beyond what I was doing with Sam Bilsara and with Mates. So when we started that company very earlier on, one of the founder of bank, one of the bank. Family office invested in our company. This was Mr. Rana Kapoor, who had founded Yes Bank, his daughter, and me partnered to create a venture. And that was like something I would like to say that was my vision play out to its optimum, because we wanted to create everything that we are now working on again. And we started well, and we were doing well. And then, of course, his career started going down. So we obviously started seeing issues. But the worst was hit because, his career went completely south, and at the same time COVID hit, and at the same time the industry had a bit of a shakeout because one eminent actor of the industry passed away, and that brought out like a can of worms in the industry. So the whole ecosystem in that sense, not just internal but external, just shook up a lot, and in such an environment where there is uncertainty across, there is internal uncertainties and then there is external uncertainties, it is very difficult to grapple and come back to the business model that you want to operate. And the worst was not over. The worst was the challenging side of consumer behavior. The investments, which parallelly were changing, So whether it was advertising or entertainment or media, they were consistently changing paradigms. So what did become was that we were internally shaken up, and at the same time, the external part of the industry was constantly recalibrating itself. So to come back to a very astute and a formidable model to say this is now what can sustain the next 5 years, was very difficult and challenging. And of course, the prior part took a lot of legal, dominance over our lives. So, but we did come out of it, and we, to be very honest with you, had a very easy, in that sense, relatively easy exit from that partnership, because they were very kind. I mean, it just it happened easily. So yeah, but it was a very challenging time.
So when you say it was a challenging time, and this is how you, overcame it, during that time when you were crossing this obstacle and you were, like we say, when you're going through that tunnel and you don't know where the light is right now, was there any piece of an advice that you felt that, hey, you know what, years back someone had told me this piece of advice and today I'm using it and it's been really helping me in my career? Anything that comes to your mind?
Yeah, so at that point in time, there were just two pieces of ideals basis which I continued. One was that, if you don't know where is the end of the tunnel, you've got to find it, right? Because at some point, there's going to be an end. So you persistently stay at it till you find it. And if that's the mind frame, you'll keep running without fear. So that's one part. And the second part was, I think we, at one point I met Mr. Balsara, and he mentioned that, the best thing to do in such times of uncertainty is a very simple advice, saying put your head down and continue the good work.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is what we did, especially for the first year. We said, okay, let's get back on path. You know, we were downsized because people left us. We were downsized because we had no cost to, you know, so a lot of things had happened from people to clients. But, you know, another advantage that you see over a period of time is that the equity you build in the marketplace. So, you know, when you're running through the dark, you will suddenly realize you've got crutches, you know, you've got people to help you out. And these are the same people who've lived your journey with you for years and you have delivered to them and they value your contribution and your ethics and they stand by you. You know, so whether it is a lot of actors, you know, or whether they were clients, advertisers, or media companies, we got a lot of support. Or lawyers, we got a lot of support from all of these people. And it would not have been possible without all that support that we got, you know, to kind of find a light again.
It reminds me of what my dad would continuously tell me that, like you said, put your head down and just, you know, work. My dad would always say, just keep going. Don't stop. The moment you stop, that's where you give up on everything. So just keep going. Somewhere or the other, the tunnel will end and there will be something for you on the other side. So it's
Correct.
like, just cross the bridge. Don't stop in the middle of the bridge. And I think you will get to the other side. And I think you've just nailed that so well, Darshana.
Yes.
You left your job and started The Artist. So I'm sure there must have been something that you felt was missing in this industry or a problem that you were trying to solve. Tell us your story about what led you to believe that The Artist will be solving a particular issue or something.
So, Payal, this is my third entrepreneurial unit. The first one was where Sam Balsara invested. The second one was with Mr. Rana Kapoor and Radha Kapoor. And the third one is this. This actually came into being because we had to start something. I didn't want to take up the job. I didn't want to go back to corporate because I believed in the vision with which we had started the second company in 2018, which the Kapoors had invested in. So we wanted to redo it, but we needed to recalibrate our plans to kind of, you know, deliver or cater to the new world that was post-COVID. So that is what we needed to do. So that's set aside. I think the kind of challenges that we faced, you know, were, like I said, there were internal and external challenges. You know, one is to kind of, you know, figure out what is happening to new consumer behavior. You know, what is the new culture? Suddenly there was a burst of, you know, investments that were happening across the whole ecosystem. So what was that money doing to consumers? What was that money doing to businesses? You know, and while that was happening, another kind of macro level challenge was also in terms of the Indian economy to understand what was happening. I mean, well, just to give you a little perspective, okay, India is a country where 5% of the population, okay, owns 60% of the wealth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And similarly, 50% of the population owns less than 3% of the wealth. Now, in an environment like this, when you're setting up consistent businesses where people are at the center of it, you know, what you call T2C and B2B, and, you know, all of these businesses need for people. How are you going to, you know, deliver? How is this economy going to be holistic? And what is it that you're going to do? So the problem statement essentially was at a micro level to say, how do we create very, very sharp communication breakthroughs for companies by delivering you know, the right kind of research-oriented celebrities and marketing solutions. But on the larger side, I realized that there are hundreds of startups each day. And most of these companies, you know, are currently created either by tech people or by product guys. And they're not marketing experts, but they don't even have the money to market. So which is when came the birth very, very swiftly and nimbly. This is what we have launched this year within 2 years of our business, is something called Dartist Plus, which essentially
What's
caters. Yeah, so Dartist Plus is a service which is taking off from Dartist service, which enables celebrities and marketing advisory. It kind of goes deeper into the ecosystem and solves a very, very macro problem of seeing how to get more inclusive with consumer marketing. How do you enhance the consumer marketing capability through, you know, sound marketing solutions, as well as celebrities who have communication breakthroughs, who have demographic dividends? So how do you utilize each of these cohorts to its optimum for the startup economy? Now, what happens there is if you can salvage, and I would think myself to be extremely lucky, if I can enable growth or success rate, you know, growth rate or success rate at even 20% of India's startup economy, I think our contribution would be very wide when it comes to creating some kind of an economic dent in this ecosystem, in this specific ecosystem. So
wow.
We want to be able to do something like this. So the problem that we are solving is that currently you start a business, but at a larger level, you need to understand which of these businesses do marketing sit in the center and how do you provide for those solutions? That's actually what we're solving.
So where are you seeing the future heading in marketing and advertising? Especially with AI and everything now, you know?
Yes. So it is going to be more and more about people. I think people will have to consistently keep making businesses which solve more human problems because, you know, rest of the problems are being sold by tech, you know, business problems. So you'll have to solve human problems. So more and more services where more humans will be included. Also, the kind of business that people need to be now working towards is where there is inclusivity, not just by, you know, gender, sex, caste, etc., but also by economic strata. You know, and I think one will have to start thinking of businesses and we will have to think of marketing, which includes a larger set of people when it comes to either product or service. So in some sense, I would think, you know, some kind of a reciprocity in your work, you know, including people and responding back with service, you know, or including them in your growth. I think that is where I see the future. And whether it is marketing, whether it is business, or whether it is, you know, sustainability, or whether it is tech products, you need to ensure that you're including people in all of this. And which is where I think all the businesses will grow simultaneously.
So have you looked into the metaverse, which is coming up big time?
Yes, I have. I have. What is your specific question, though? Because I have a lot of opinions about them.
I would love to hear your opinion. I mean, just a general thought on this.
So see, Meta obviously is, I mean, you know, yesterday, the text to visual AI was launched yesterday by ChatGPT called Zora. And then you have... Yeah, I think that's what it's called. And then you have Meta. I think Meta has its limited uses, in my opinion, in my individual opinion. I feel Meta has its limited uses. For one, it is definitely not a social environment because a social environment can, you know, where you replicate yourself beyond a point starts becoming fake. So it's actually contraindicative of what social behavior should be. And therefore, you know, it becomes a very unattended place of loose social engagement. And I think that has its own limitations and it won't grow too much. Most of us like a certain kind of conduct of social environment, right? So that is one. So I feel more than a social environment, it may be used for businesses. I feel in the next 5 to 6 years, while if I may say so in my micro judgment, I feel in 5 to 6 years, all your social medias will be more business centric rather than, you know, and those communities and those associations that are created will be utilized for businesses and will be utilized for capitalistic purposes rather than social purposes. What would be great, though, is that if that could be used also, you know, for a lot of good, you know, if moving forward, you know, there are a lot of these cohorts which enable, you know, a movement, whether it is LGBTQ or whether it's a movement about girl child mm-hmm. empowerment. If those cohorts start doing good, I think that might be another definite advantage. But I don't see it being a great social enabler. Second part is I also feel that they may be utilized in marketing quite well because it has great dividend from a distribution standpoint. I think what social media does is that it's a great distributor of content. And I think that enables you to communicate with large set of people at low cost, effectively. I think that is what it will be used for. Yeah, I think that's my point of view.
Nice way of putting it. Darshana, tell me something. I was very curious on knowing that when you spoke about how you left the companies and then you created your own, a lot of entrepreneurs get sucked in with competition and competitors. Has that ever impacted you, whether positively or negatively? What are your thoughts on that?
So I've learned along the way, Payal, and I have learned one simple thing that You need to, when you make a business program, and I'll tell you, I'll go one step behind. When you make a business program, the most important thing that you should aim for, apart from profits, is what is the culture you're creating, okay? Mm-hmm. And you own that culture, okay? Now, that culture has to be ambitious, has to be profit-centric, you know, it has to be, hardworking, it has to have ethics. And at some point, that culture should eliminate insecurity.
Okay.
Whether it is amongst internal employees or with the external market. Why I feel this is because I think that if you have your roadmap and you're achieving your progress step by step in accordance to that roadmap and you're nimble and innovative, I don't think market share is a big chase. You know, it'll come to you if it has to, if you're delivering service in the right order. I think and some of these very valuable products in the world kind of inspire me. When Apple made its first phone, I don't think they were looking for market share. You know,
right?
I think they wanted to give the world a product that nobody had seen. They were solving a problem. They were doing their best, and they delivered the best. Now, what happens to market share after that is a consequence of, you know, an external factor which you can only control to a place, right? Hmm. So I think that my motto is to create your own roadmap, stay on path, and keep going with the culture that you create. That's a strong part of my strategy.
That's so well put, because a lot of us I've seen, we get just so weighed down by what's happening on the left and the right. I mean, it's good to be aware of what's happening on the left or the
Yeah,
right, but
absolutely.
Being
absolutely.
consumed by it can really put you down so much. So I think that was a great piece of advice. But Darshana, before we wrap up, what would be your piece of advice to people who want to succeed in their careers?
Oh, well, I mean, I've never found myself apt enough to give so much advice to people. But
If not you, then who else? I mean, look the
but,
way
but,
you have
no,
grown
but
your
I
own
feel...
business.
I mean, I think there's simple things, frankly, you know, you've done it, Payal, you know, it's simple things, you know, you need to have the courage. First thing is, if you want to be an entrepreneur, the first thing is to kind of be in a bit of a situation where you know that there is a risk of failure, and there might be, and it's how you deal with failures and what is it that you create of that organization. So, you know, simple things like courage, persistence, you know, you asked me about the tunnel, you know. So persistence, you know, and the most important thing that you need to believe is that you need to create value and you need to be ethical. I think those are two fundamental business strategies that if as an entrepreneur, because that keeps you long term. I just told you that, you know, I had crutches while I was in the dark. I didn't even know crutches were coming my way. And that happened because of long-term value creation for your clients, of being ethics. People trusted you. And I think earn the trust. You know, as an entrepreneur, you need to learn to earn the trust. So for me, it's simple things like ethics, it's persistence, it's courage, honesty, create a good culture internally where every single employee, including your office, was happy to come to office.
Yeah.
You know, if possible, I know sometimes organizations become very large. You know, and sometimes, you know, it's difficult to control it, but I think to a degree possible. And for me, that culture is not about putting table tennis, table tennis facilities or taking them drinking. It's about creating the right kind of mindset. So, yeah, those things.
And I think just speaking with you and, you know, meeting you here, I feel that you have built that culture because you are smiling, you are happy-go-lucky. And you're working hard, you know, with everything. So, and you've taken that time to come on the podcast and share your insights. And I'm so grateful for that, Darshana.
Thank you very much for this, Payal. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Thank you. And this one's for our listeners. This is Darshana Bhalla and Payal Nanjiani wishing you loads of success in your career life. God bless.